This is the national public broadcast of W.D. Muhammad, Muslim society leader. The following khutbah was recorded November the 17th, the year 2000, at the Harvey Islamic Center in Harvey, Illinois. The khatib is Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim society leader.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ba'd. In Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, may we witness that he is one, and we witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger, the honorable servant and messenger of God, the last of the prophets, the seal of the prophets, mentioned in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, properly named in the Quran, the Torah and the Injil. We know of him as God has revealed him to us. God says of Muhammad that he is a mercy to all the worlds. And God says of Muhammad that certainly we have seen him on the foundation of the most excellent character. The most excellent character. And Allah says of him that he is enough for all mankind. Kafatan linnas, enough for all mankind. And with that expression, enough for all mankind, we can understand the saying of the Prophet, peace be upon him, that there was a building being built, and each prophet came and contributed the block to that building, and he was the last to put a block to finish that building. And he is enough for all mankind, as Allah says in the Holy Book, Quran. Allah says of him that he has believed in God, and so have the believers. So Muhammad is a believer in God. He's our leader. If we follow him, we follow him in faith first, believer in God. Believing in God, seen and unseen. Seen and unseen. And we know we can't see him with our eyes, so how is it understood that we believe in him seen and unseen? Al-Zahir wal-Batin. The evidence of him is in his works. And God's works is the creation of man and everything else that exists in this original creation that God made, the skies and the earth and all living things. We see him in his works, and it's plain and clear. That's evidence of God's existence and presence. We know God invited Moses to see God, to see him, to come up to speak with him, pardon me. And Moses wanted to see him. Peace be upon Moses. He said, let me see you. And God told him, say, if you will see me, look to the mountain. The evidence, the creation itself, look to the mountain. And he looked to the mountain, but he couldn't see what he wanted to see. He was thinking he was going to see a man or something, I guess, because his people believed that God was a man. They asked him, say, show us God in body. In material body. That's what they asked him, according to the word of God in the Quran. So they were people who believed in, that they had to see God in material body. And Moses was one of them, so he was really going on a mission for them. So he said, let me see you. And God told him, as I have told you, it's in the Quran. And when he looked at the mountain, he swooned, he fainted. And when he regained his consciousness, the mountain was there intact. But when he swooned and passed out, the mountain disappeared as dust went away. This is Islam. This is the Quran. This is the word of God. This is the religion. And this is what clears up our hearts, our souls, and our minds. And our minds. And anyone who's not following the way that God revealed, he's confused, He's tormented. He's in the dark. He's alone. God is not with him. The angels are not with him. And the believers are not with him. Praise be to Allah, who is one alone and needs nothing of his creation. He created everything and needs nothing of his creation. He created everything by his own will, simply to order it be, and according to God's word, and it was. Sekun fayakun. Be, and it came into existence. That's God. And there is nothing like God. Allah says in the Quran of himself, Laysa kamithlihi shay'un. There is nothing at all like him. Not a single thing like him. And we know that the people of the book, they say God made us, man, in his own image and likeness. In contradiction to other parts of the Bible that say make no image of him in the heavens or in the earth. So that's contradiction. Their belief is in conflict with their own teachings, with their own Bible. And we know that they call themselves, Jews did it first, the children of God. The children of God. If the language is used lightly as a metaphor or something to be interpreted, then it's not that harmful. If for the person who understands it that way. But if they mean that God really had children, descendants, then Allah answers that in the Quran. Not befitting of the Most High God to have a consort, a wife, a woman. He never had a wife. And then plain simple language, Lam yelit wa lam yulet. Never did he father a child. Wa lam yulet. And never was he born a child. Wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. And never did there exist anything resembling him. This is the Quran. This is the religion. Let's stick with it. Don't go back to sleep. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Al-Islam, the religion of all Muslims, and the religion of mankind, by virtue of their original creation. And in support of that statement, Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, everyone is born Muslim. And it is the circumstances that he put in, or she's put into, that makes them otherwise. A priest, a monk, a Buddhist, a Christian, a Jew, whatever. You become an atheist. It's your circumstances that you put in that makes you other than a Muslim. Muslim is your nature by birth. It is your original self. Muslim is our original self. So, and what is my own self? I'm quoting. And what is my own self? My own self is a righteous Muslim. End quote. I think you know where that came from. The great scholar of this time, who passed some years back from Pakistan, of the Indian race people, Maulana Maududi, he wrote of Islam. He said, Islam is an ideology for the reform of the whole world. Well, we know that the Christianity started with the Jews, in the Jews people. But if Christ, according to the Christian teachings, before he passed away, he instructed all of his disciples, his helpers, to go into all the avenues of human life, of the family of man, and give the message, take the message to all people. So Christianity then is also, by their own teachings, Christianity is also a message or an ideology for the whole world of mankind, all people. And if you understand the Jewish teachings, the Jews' religion, you understand that they are too committed to work for all people, for the whole of mankind. But they make a separation between them and other people as to who is authorized by God and who is not. So if you come into the Jewish people with them, then you come in by adoption. And I'm quoting the Bible, I'm quoting their teachings. You come in by adoption, which means you are not a child of God except by adoption. They are the true children of God. They are the authentic, genuine children of God. And anyone else who comes into that religion comes in by adoption. By adoption. This is Judaism. And they identify themselves as the only begotten of God. They identify their whole people as the only begotten of God. So this is quite different from Islam. And it seems to be on the surface different from Christianity. But I have studied Christianity, and Christianity, the New Testament, says the same thing. You just don't understand it. It's saying, too, that the only begotten is a Jew. This is not to knock the Jews. This is to clear up our heads so we can be strong in our faith and clear in our minds to do what we have to do in the path of God here in the United States of America and other places where we are, like Bermuda and a few other places. We should be all over this world, like other people working for God, working for the world idea, global reform. Righteousness. So we are born Muslims mean we are born righteous, not sinful. There is no original sin in Islam. We are not born in sin. We are born Muslims. That means born good nature, without fault, without sin, without corruption. All that comes after we learn it from the world. We don't sin until the world shows us sin. So we are born into a world of sin, not into a nature that's sinful. God said he created us and he gave us our taqwa. That's our righteousness. He gave us our taqwa and he gave us our fujura. And the fujura is a hunger for knowledge, understanding in the intellect and in the soul. It's a hunger for the light. So he gave us righteousness, obedience to him, taqwa. And he gave us also an appetite for the light. So we thirst for light from the time we are born. We thirst for light. It's in us. It's inborn into us. This is not my teaching. This is the teachings of the Quran, the teachings of God. Not my teaching. In the Quran, God says, and he gave you, not nothing else, before your creation was complete, he gave you your taqwa and your fujura. So it's inborn in us. And when God finishes it, it's a Muslim. And as Muhammad, the Prophet, peace be upon him, has explained, circumstances we are put in may pull us out of that Muslim form. So today in this khutbah here, we want to stress obedience to God in the original nature. The original nature of a baby is not to rebel against God. The original nature of a baby is not to rebel against his parents. The original nature of a baby is to obey what God has ordered for it. Parents, mother, father, family. That's the original nature of every human being. And God says to us, He named us Muslims before and in the Quran. Before and in the Quran. And we understand that Abraham was the first conscious Muslim. And he was the first of the Muslims, Abraham. The first of the conscious Muslims. But every human being was made a Muslim by nature. But Abraham was the first of the conscious Muslims. He taught us how to be Muslim. He taught us how to protect our original nature and to deliver it to God, whole and sound. Abraham taught us that. And learned imam, I once heard him overseas, I was listening to one of the learned imams, and he said, and Abraham was a community. And I recall reading in the Quran that Allah says Abraham was a community. And he said, and Muhammad is a community too. I know this community that we are in is the community of Muhammad the Prophet. It was Muhammad the Prophet serving Allah that established the first community of Muslims. And the whole world now follow in his tradition, practicing the religion as they best understand it from Muhammad the Prophet. Firstly from the Quran, of course, but then from Muhammad the Prophet, who demonstrated to the world how that revelation was to be practiced, put into effect in the life of individual and society. Muhammad showed us that. It was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prayers and the peace be upon him. It was Muhammad who showed us how to pray. You read the Quran, you will not find the way to pray. It's not in the Quran. Allah intended for Muhammad, the leader, to teach us how to pray. And he is the first of the imams for us. And he is our teacher, he's our guide, as well as our leader. So Muslims should know that they should say, Allah is my God, the Quran is my book, and Muhammad is my prophet. Nabiyyi, Muhammad, Nabiyyi. This is universal. Muslims, whether they are in Asia, the continent of Asia, or Africa, or Europe, or America, wherever they are, or in the islands, they all believe in what I'm explaining to you right now. If you don't know these things, you new ones should study, and you old ones should blow your brains out. Because you've been around here too long hearing the truth and not following it. You should just go to the mirror and blow your brains out, see yourself killed. A waste of life. You're a waste of human material. You just keep wrestling with something that torments you, and the liberating light is plain as day in your eyes. I'd get rid of that hypocrite, that cheap hypocrite. I'd just go out and take him out myself. I wouldn't wait for myself to die. I used to say, Imam told us to go kill ourselves. Are you in here? I didn't know you were in here. I didn't know I was talking to some of you all. We thank Allah that we open our eyes because we want to see. We want to see. So we open our eyes. When the Quran came and showed us how to open our eyes, we open our eyes. Praise be to Allah. Islam is firstly a message to all the world. It is an ideology. As Maulana Maldoodi said, may God give him paradise. It is an ideology for the reform of the whole world. That's what it's given to us for, to reform the whole world. And if you study the history of the world, before the time of our Prophet, immediately before the time of our Prophet, and in the time of our Prophet, peace be upon him, and study it after Islam came, you'll see that it was grouping in the dark and not civilized, though few of them, the learned, were civilized. But the masses were not educated, the world was not civilized. Until Islam came, and Islam, after Islam, we start seeing a change for the better for the whole world of mankind. Although wars were made, ugly violence, jealousy, and Allah says in the Quran, and never did they differ until the clear evidence came to them. That's the Quran. Then they began differing and fighting and killing, and jealous of the Muslims ruling Spain, got together and got their forces together and drove the Muslims out of Spain. Now understand that the Muslims in Spain went in there beautiful. But in time they became corrupt. They became corrupt. If they had not become corrupt, they would have been in Spain till today. Because the Spanish people were not against them. The Spanish people were thankful to them. The history says that when the Muslims were leaving Spain, turning it over to the Christians, the Spaniard people could be seen crying on the sidelines as they were watching the Muslims leave, crying. So this was a power act by the Christians of the world, led by a few who were devilish and wicked. But Allah is the best known. I believe what they did softened the hearts of many Spanish people for Islam. There are a lot of Muslims now that are Spanish, and they are increasingly coming to Islam, the Spanish people. And also the non-Spanish people of Europe, it softened their hearts for Islam. When they read the true studies, I talk to them. They tell me how it has softened their hearts. Community. God says, you are the best of communities. Brought out, or translated by the English translator of the Quran, evolved. Evolved for the good of all people. Antum khayra ummatan ukhrijat linnas. You are the best of communities brought out for all mankind, evolved for all mankind, brought out of the darkness into the light for all mankind. Then God says of this religion, that he has revealed it to bring you out of the darkness into the light. This is Quran. So understand this, Muslim brothers and sisters all, and children. Understand this, that no matter what the world says, if you are Muslim, you should go by what Islam says. No matter what the world says, if you say you are Muslim, if you wear that name, you should go by what the Quran says, what Allah says in the Quran, and what Muhammad has taught us, the Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him. If you don't do that, then you're in conflict with your own self. You're in a mess. See, why is he angry today? I'm as peaceful as I ever been. I'm not angry. I'm happy. I'm in heaven, really. In my soul, I'm in heaven. God knows that. Yes, sir. I'm not angry with anybody. I love you. I'm in love with you. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't talk to you this way. I'll sell you some bull and get your money. And be rich sitting up somewhere in the gold coast somewhere. In wealth. And coming to visit you in a little ghetto, in a little stink hole. And taking your money and going right back to my gold coast home or apartment. That's what I'd do if I didn't love you. Sometimes I think some of you deserve that. And I don't have to give you that. You got plenty of them around that give you that. They give you that treatment. They ready. All right. So we have to know our own identity. We are Muslims by the definition given to us in the Quran and the teachings of Muhammad. Not by any definition popping up in your head somewhere. We are Muslims by the definition established in the Quran, the Word of God, and the teachings and practice of Muhammad, his tradition. That's why we are Muslims. And the origin of this concept came from the teacher Abraham. Millat Ibrahim Hanifa. This is the order of Abraham, the upright in his nature. Praise be to Allah. And you are to understand your identity as a society. As a society, you are supposed to be one united community, ummatan wahida, one united community under God, following the universal messenger, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is it. This is it. Clear as anything can be. This is Islam. Now, you are obligated to be a Muslim responsible for your own Muslim nature. And you're obligated to be a Muslim individual responsible for your own Muslim environment. And you're supposed to be working on your environment to make your environment agree with what Allah has revealed is the ummatan wahida. So your environment should have Islamic education in it. It has to have Islamic school. It has to have the place to pray, masallah. It has to have mosque, if you want to say, masjid. It has to have masjid. And it has to have halal. Halal means accepted as God wants it for you. You remember the story of the man walking in the hadith, it's given in the hadith, Muslim and Bukhari. The man walking and he's disappointed, his life is miserable. He's walking like this and looking at the sky. And he's, oh God, oh God, oh God, ya Allah, ya Allah. He's praying to Allah. Why is I suffer like this? And the hadith said that his clothing was not halal. His dress was not halal, and he had been consumed by all that is not halal. So his whole life was not halal. And he's praying to God, asking God to help him, and wondering why would a God leave him miserable like that, when he had ignored God and God's way, and had made his life all haram. Not halal. So we are obligated to be responsible for our own life, to make it right in accordance with the guidance of God and the example of Muhammad the Prophet. And we are obligated, as I said before, to take charge of our own environment. A Muslim, whether you've got a mansion or one room to sleep in, you want that one room to be your room of worship for Allah. Yes. And you don't want those objectionable things in your one room or in your mansion. And when you walk out of your doors and you don't see any Islamic structures, nothing done by Muslims. That should make you feel very sad. You shouldn't be happy to step outside of your house or your apartment onto the streets and see nothing that Muslims have done. That should make you very sad. And you should work hard behind any qualified leader who loves the way of God, follows the path of Islam, the path of God in Islam, and behind the leader, Muhammad the Prophet. I don't care what color he is, what nation he comes from, and I'm speaking to these brothers here who are not of the Negro, not of the, excuse me, that's an old word, not of the black people, the African American people. I'm speaking to them too, to let them know where your leader stands. I don't know what you're telling them, but I want them to know where your leader is and where he stands. You should follow any of them. You don't have to come here. If you're not happy with this place, go behind any true Muslim that's trying to be upright in Islam. And he's a leader, support him. This is Islam. Islam is a free religion. It's not racist. It's free for all. And it recognizes all Muslims as brothers and sisters. You don't have to come here to be a brother. You go anywhere where there's decent Muslim environment or decent Muslim place to pray and to hear the lecture, the teaching of Islam. And you're a brother there. You're a brother anywhere. Elijah Muhammad told us many years ago when the reality was not there to support what he was saying. He said, when you register and become a member of the Nation of Islam, you automatically finish it for me, somebody. Finish it, hypocrite. You know it. Finish it. You automatically what? I'm not hearing you. They ain't loud enough. You automatically? Yes, yes, but that ain't the word he used. He didn't use brother. What word he used? You know it. That tells me a lot about you all. Brother Ajin, what did he say? What does Dalai Lama Muhammad say? When you register in the Nation of Islam, you automatically become what? Imam Ajin. I'm speaking to Imam Ajin. You don't recall? You came in late then. Is there anybody who came in the 50s, early 50s? Anybody here from the early 50s? Nobody? I don't believe that. Yes. Can you recall what he said? You got the idea. That's not what he said. You automatically become a what? A what? Yes, a citizen. He said you automatically become a citizen of every Muslim government. That's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. I guess that's why I have such a hard time with you all. You didn't even get the help that came from him. It's really pitiful. We need new people. You preachers that are with me solidly, you need to go out and get some new people. Because these are going to be in the wilderness for another 40 years. So Islam believes in the innocence of every human being. That's what it's saying. At birth, all human beings are innocent, not sin, not in sin. And that condition, that innocent condition, is called Muslim. Muslim by nature. And if we want to make progress, then we have to continue in that innocence. Don't become guilty. Don't become a crooked-minded person. Stay innocent. You have to stay in that innocence, and you have to work for more purity in your life. Purify your life. Allah says he does not, in the Quran, Allah says he does not want for us difficulty. Isn't that a loving God? Say, I don't want you to be in difficulty, but I want that you be purified. And you have to have some moral muscle, spiritual muscle than moral muscle, to purify your life, especially when you're facing so much sin and corruption, pornography, child pornography, all kind of freakish, perverted stuff that'll make a dog puke. And you're living in that stuff, You're seeing it on television. You're seeing it in the movies. You're hearing about it if you're not seeing it. So you're bombarded with a lot of corruption that makes your nature warped and freakish. And you become an alien in the human family. So you have to work for purity. Work for the purifying of your own soul. And God says, and spend on your own soul. And whoever spends on his own soul, spend your time, spend your energy, spend your good thoughts, spend even your money to put your soul in a better situation so it can become more beautiful for Allah's sake. Purify it. And God says, and whoever spends on his own soul, he certainly prospers. He prospers. He succeeds. And whoever neglects to do that, doesn't care for that, he goes down to the lowest of the low. Down to the lowest of the low. And remember, we are people of faith. We don't know everything. Follow the learned, the wise, pious leaders in this religion who say to God, you know God, and we know not. Admit that you know not. Everything you got it from somebody else or from something else. You came in the world knowing nothing. And only because God created you like you are and created the world like it is that you are able to know. So give God the credit for everything. Say, God, you the knower, you're the knower, and we know not. And there's, believe me, there's worlds of knowledge that you don't know. What you know is a speck on this earth, not to speak of in the universe. It's a little speck on this earth. Not to mention what it would look like if it was measured in the context of the whole universe. It would be like non-existent. And God says, do good. And we have to believe in God and believe in his messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. God says, believe in God and believe in his messenger. How are you going to separate them? When God has put the Muhammad, the messenger, right with God as his servant and his messenger, and you have to believe in him, or God will not accept your belief. God will not accept you just believing in God. God will only accept your belief if you believe also in Muhammad the Prophet. So God says himself in our holy book, believe in God and believe in his messenger. And the messenger is a believer too. Says, and the messenger has believed. And so have the believers. And God says, and do good. Ahsanu. Do good. And God says, it is closest. Or it is really the strength of piety. Taqwa. It is closest to taqwa. Taqwa. Or it is really the strength. It is the best power for you keeping your taqwa. Doing good. Doesn't that make all the sense in the world? We know when we see people that believe in doing good, we readily accept them as good people, and we readily respect whatever they believe in. But if they doing bad and claiming to have faith in some religion, it doesn't touch us. It won't touch us because their life is in contradiction with what they're claiming. It says, and they say we've heard a call in the land. This is in the Quran. Yes, Muhammad was calling. Calling the people to faith. And those that heard him, they responded and said, we believe. We believe. Praise be to Allah. So let's practice the doing good. Let's remember the best teachings we got from our Christian mamas and fathers and families. They taught us to do good. They didn't tell us to be bad cooks and liars and hypocrites and sneaky people sneaking around, whispering behind my back, discrediting me, trying to pull me down. But you ain't got the courage to come to me and do it in my face. So what are you, a cheap little mouse? A sick field rat. Yeah, that's what you are. You're in bad shape. Why can't you just come in my face? You jealous? You don't like because God has blessed me? You can't do anything about that. But drive yourself nuts and torment your life. Stop pretending. You ain't fooling nobody but yourself. We see you. We see all of you. You're not fooling anybody but yourself and those you hang out with. And I'm saying it's only for your good, not for my good. My good would be just to leave you and never come back. Go with the people that I know are straight. That would be for my good. So we have to become workers, not just claiming faith. Become workers. And let your work say you're a Muslim. Let your work say you follow Muhammad the Prophet. All through the Quran, work and faith are together. Alladhina amanu, those who have faith, wa amilu salihat, and their works are righteous works. Wa amilu salihat, and their deeds or their work is righteous work. So where's your work? Where's your work? You're doing, you're coming here on and off, weekend, come here on Fridays and maybe some other days too. And you come back, have you increased your good works? If you haven't, you're wasting your life. And you don't have any credit with God. You have to be doing good works. What do you think this is, a cult? A street gang? I'm speaking to all of you. This is not just to you here in this town. I'm speaking to all of you all throughout the United States and outside too if you have this problem. What do you think this is? A street gang? A fad? Something that you just come into for fashion? You wear it as a fashion and you put it down when you want to and pick it up when you want to? I don't love you like that, brother. God know I don't love you like that. You're doing it in innocence, that's one thing. If you're doing it and know you're doing wrong, I don't love you. And if there wasn't no law in this land, I'd organize a group and kill you. I'd actually kill you. God knows I'd kill you for wearing the name Muslim and being the way you are. And some of you think you can scare me. A gunshot, anything, a firecracker popping behind, I'm not expecting. It can scare me, but just for a second or two. A gun in my face, it can scare me, but just for a second or two. I rely on Allah, and Allah takes the fear away. So you can't scare me. If I was going to be scared, I'd have been scared in 1973, 74, 75. That's when I would have been scared. Now here come a little nut in my face and using language that make me think he's trying to threaten me. You couldn't threaten those guys I got rid of. You wasn't brave enough to go in their face and turn them around. Now what makes you think you can stand in my face and make me a threat? I was alone. None of you came out and helped me fight those guys. But now you're so tough you can do me in. Go get some one of them guys that really gave you hell. Show me you brave. That'll show me you brave. You're not brave. You're weaklings. I heard a Spanish girl. She was a waiter in the restaurant. And some African Americans in there acting like apes. And she said, Negro's chicken. See, Negro is Spanish for black. Negro's chicken. You You're brave, though, when you think you've got one of your own kind. Coward. You think they're afraid of you. Oh, you're brave then. Oh, you beat him up something terrible. Dismember him. You can really be cruel. But you're nothing but a coward. When you think you might lose, you ain't around. You ain't gonna be around. You're gone. Hiding somewhere. But ain't a Muslim. Muslims accept death if we have to accept it, doing what God wants us to do. We accept death. We're not afraid of death. We're not afraid of dying. If I was afraid of dying, I wouldn't have lasted 2 weeks. No, because I got threats. Way back then, before 1975, serious threats. I reported them to the FBI and the police department. I tied my camel. And I trusted my God. And I'm here. Thank Allah. We have efforts to change this thing where we don't see any contribution, material contribution of ours in the streets, in the public. We want to change that. Allah, Elijah Muhammad made that his number one aim. To change the material environment for the African-American poor people. So here we are again. We're here. Brother walked into the store, into the apartment, the plant where we are on 167th Street. And he saw me in Helen Meats. And he was from back there when I was a teenager, 19 years old, in the Nation of Islam. So I told him. I said, you see? I said, well, you saw me? You saw me in the restaurant, working in the restaurant. Grocery store and restaurant, I worked. I said, and I was a minister, called minister back then. Minister W.D. Muhammad. Minister W. Wallace D. Muhammad or W.D. Muhammad. But I worked in those businesses. So I said, you see, I'm back in it. I'm back in the same old image, same old style. Back in it. This ain't nothing new for me. This is what I used to. This is what I started out doing. My father, if you didn't work, you didn't stay around him. He wouldn't accept you. If you want to be around him, you had to work. And for me, I loved it. It was my pride, my dignity. It was my freedom. To be with a job, a lawful income, is freedom. To be without it is one form of slavery. Well, I loved it, and I still love it. I got a brother, Elijah Muhammad. Elijah Muhammad will paint this building, he'll wash the floors, he'll shovel coal, he'll do anything. He'll pick out the garbage and never feel that he had to lower his pride. He'd be just as proud doing that as he was being a commander over hundreds of first officers and captains in the Nation of Islam before I became the leader. He just as happy to do these little things as he is to do that big thing he was doing. That's my brother. And I mean it. That's my blood brother. We got the same spirit. It's a blessing, Elijah. Because some of our brothers and sisters don't have it. So it's a blessing that we have that. So we have established an organization called Collective Purchasing Conference. It's a distributor itself, really. Limited liability company. But it is mainly a tool for all of us. It makes purchases, big purchases, with dollars from many of us. Money from many of us. So money from many of us piles up like it did for the Elijah Muhammad. When the Honorable Elijah Muhammad passed, there was over $3 million cash in the bank downtown. So he didn't leave us actually broke. No, he did not. He left us with a situation with properties and things. When the government came in, well, they set it up. They set us up for it. So that's what wrecked us. It was not that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad didn't have money. He had money. He had money from you all. over $3 million in the account. Now, Allah has blessed us to have your support for me. And we again have a few million dollars, cash. That's a little power there. So with that kind of money, we can go and buy from the manufacturers in Bangladesh, Malaysia, Indonesia, wherever, Thailand, Hong Kong, wherever. We can go and buy. And not to mention the opportunities right here in this hemisphere to buy from America, from U.S., Canada, Mexico. We can buy. So we are not hopeless. We're in a position to go forward with our material lives for the first time since the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's effort. And actually, his effort was an effort doomed to die because it had no life that was compatible with the life of this society or this government, this world. You cannot build an independent government inside this government that is enemy to this government. Common sense tell you they ain't going to stand for that. So they let you do it, but they plan for you down the road. They say, well, they're building, but we're going to get all this. And that's what they did. They took it all through the probate courts. So you have to understand these things to keep and to go with me and not burden me. You have to understand these things. This address I'm giving you, bringing these serious concerns to you, I had planned for other locations, but I didn't find any place suitable until now. I'm doing it here. And it's going out to the whole community. It's going out to the whole community. Now, we were asked to support Hajj, big delegation to go to Hajj. In this coming year, 2001. If you have to leave, leave, please, and no problem. Don't feel embarrassed. 2001. We didn't have enough months to really build up. I myself, you all got me living pretty comfortably financially. But I myself, I need more time. I don't have enough time to give that amount of money, over $2,000. I don't have it right now. But if I have until 2002, I think I'm pretty sure I'll have it. I'll have that much by that time. And it's wrong for you to make Hajj on my money. That's not right. Suppose you don't pay the Hajj agency back. What happens to my money? This is Islam I'm teaching you. Don't think this is not Islam. This is not proper for khutbah. The brothers, they have time on their hands. They have time demands on them. This is proper for khutbah. We have to strengthen the Muslim community. And that's what I'm doing. I'm working to strengthen this community. Now, the spirit was put into the community to make Hajj in the big number, 2,000 persons. But me, it would have been 2001 for the year 2001. So a lot of people who hadn't planned to make Hajj were given the spirit to do it, to go in this big number with Imam W.D. Muhammad. Now, we don't have enough to go, not near enough. We don't have near enough money. So I want to postpone it till 2002. So-called leaders, supposedly, say, I'm their imam. They say, Imam W.D. Muhammad is my imam. They tell the people that. But they are working to now go and take as many as they can in 2001. So if they are ignorant, I want to show them their ignorance. If you work to get big number for 2001, you are working against your imam because you are taking numbers away from 2002. And you're doing it on the back of your imam. Because it was your imam that invited the people and excited their enthusiasm. That's just another case of you working against me and undermining my efforts. The CPC would never be in existence if it wasn't for a few believers supporting me, working with me here and a few outside. The great many of the imams, they were waiting for this effort to die. And they only came in when they saw it was right in their backyard. Their own members of their own mosque had started supporting us. Then they came and said, we want to make an investment. When they couldn't help it, that's when they said they want to make an investment. We could have big numbers of people with us if we didn't have these leaders before the people as an image of us. If they remain before the people as an image of us, they turn good people and real sincere, hard-working people away. They only want people who have been victims of crime life and who will accept that they're the bond boss to keep them in order for the establishment. They have made prisoners of you all. They have made you prisoners. And this has to stop. And I'm here to announce today that I'm the one who gave this community the name MAS, Muslim American Society. I'm the one who gave that name. And I can show you right now, it's in the records where I registered an organization, almost worded exactly like that, long before I became your leader. I registered that organization because I thought the Nation of Islam just might be lost. And if it was lost, then I was going to use that organization. I wasn't going to give up. I never give up. But thank Allah, it wasn't lost. We made a transformation. So I'm not going to give them this name. You're the one who's not in the court with the name. You go. And I don't care if it's all the support but 1%. I'd rather have 1% straight people than to have 100% hypocrites. So I'm announcing here from this place, from this masjid, under Imam Daniel Kareem, in this city of Harvey, I'm announcing today that you who've been lying to yourself and us, you're not included in my eyes anymore. In my eyes, you're not included. You're not with us. We don't expect anything from you. And I will not be coming to your masjid anymore. The leader goes with good, beautiful Christians, folklore people from Rome. I commit myself and us to join them for respect for each other's religion and cooperation as decent human persons in the way of God. And I don't get the leaders of this community to support me. They thought I was going to be embarrassed and the folklore people perhaps would never want to see me again. But Allah brought whites in there. Allah blessed us to have whites sitting where they should have been sitting. Place filled up with white folks. Where are my people? They hoping that they have had embarrassed me again to defeat my purpose, my aim. That's what they were hoping for. But it didn't work. But it was an embarrassment, because I'm looking at the audience, almost solid white. Beautiful people, though. They were just like my brothers and sisters. That's how supportive they were of the call for faith communities together. They became friends, those who were there for the first time. They saw us, they liked us. So God gave us many more friends from them. And many of them big people with establishment. That means something, a lot. I'm looking in the side bleachers, and that's where we were. I guess that was a sign, though those people can see it. We sitting on the sideline. Yeah, we were speckled in the side bleachers. But the great mass, the great audience, was almost solidly white. Some claimed that promised that they were going to send buses. No buses. No buses. If they would tell the truth, we could go around to all these centers and mosques and messages, go around to them and ask them, were you encouraged to go to Washington? I bet you they'd tell you no. They were not encouraged to go. And I believe a good number of them said things to discourage them and tried hard to keep any information from reaching them that the imam wanted them to go to Washington. If we had come, it wouldn't have been standing room. Been all outside of the building. And that would have been for the news a great plus for us in promoting what we're about. It would have been a great plus for us. You disappointed me, I'm going to disappoint you. You're on your own, buddy. I won't be coming and helping you out no anymore. Won't be holding you up anymore before the people. Won't be doing that anymore. Trying to save you and you fight me all the time. Yeah, I've heard a story of drowning person. Person trying to save them from drowning. They fighting, just hitting and beating up the ground. They panic. And make it almost impossible for the person that's trying to save them and take them to shore. Now, we're living in my understanding, the last days. And I believe the last days come and go. At certain times in the history of human beings on this earth, the last days come. And God give the deserving ones a new chance. And they bring the world back again. But in time, the wicked have to be weeded out and done away with. So we see the end of time again. And I believe this is the end of time. This is not end time for Muslim life. This is a good time for Muslim life. Best season for Muslim life. It's not the end of time for the righteous. This is the best season for the righteous. And the signs of the end of time, as given by our prophet, peace and blessings be on him, one of the signs, and in fact, all the signs to me are clear today. I can see them clearly right now. One of the signs is say that servant people, the servant people, people who have been in servant class, will be competing with the established people in the building of skyscrapers. This is in the saying of Prophet Muhammad recorded by Bukhari and Muslim. Competing with the established people, the big people, in the construction of high buildings. This is how it's put. I believe that time is right now. And we should be foremost in this competition. Because our religion conditions us to not live spiritually in one side and then materially in the other side and think that one side is against the other side. It unites us. It reconciles our aspirations for establishment in this world with the sayings of God in the Quran. Seek what means that God has given you the hereafter, which is better, we know, better in quality and better in quantity. But God says, but don't neglect your share of this material world. And don't neglect your share in this material world. And God says, who has said that this is not for my servants? Say, this is for them in this life, the material world, and only exclusively for them in the hereafter. That's what God says. Khalisan. Exclusive for them in the hereafter. So we should be in the forefront. And don't you know most of our people are looking for us to be in the forefront? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam true followers made such an impression on Christian African Americans, blacks, that they are disappointed when they see us not producing. And they are waiting on us to get our spirit back. They believe that we are the ones to lead them in the material accomplishments. I know it because I've heard it from the best and most popular of their leaders. So what are you going to do? You going to follow these other guys that call themselves imams over these masjids in the different cities? You going to follow them? Disappointing me? Showing half effort just to pretend? Or are you going to follow me solidly like you're supposed to? Well, if you who have the spirit to do that, God promises us success. The believers must be successful, God says. They must win through. God promises us success. So I close out that part of the khutbah with that appeal to you. And I pray to God, Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'd idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahmatan innaka antal wahhab. Rabbana afrigh alayna sabran wa thabbit aqdamana وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ آمين الحمد لله رب العالمين نستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به عز وجل أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد. Dear believers, with that traditional introduction to this last part of the khutbah, I want to say to you that we are working to get charge of and some of our material environment all around us where we have no representation as achievers or accomplishers or owners or managers, controllers. We are working to get into that position, not because I want money. If I wanted money, you know there's quick ways to get it. I know many quick ways to get money. Not because I want money, it's because we need material strength to support our life. We always have a weak life if we have weak or no material accomplishment. So we need that. I'm not a hermit. I'm not a ghost. I'm not going to be one. I'm a flesh and blood man like Muhammad was. Allah says Muhammad is a flesh and blood man like you. So I have to have the material to house my spirit and my soul. I have to have the material. And the material has to be good. Not a ghetto, not a rat hole. It has to be good. So we are working for that. And we have the blessings of our efforts before and the blessings of the light in Islam today. How can we fail if we just sincerely support what I'm doing? How can we fail? No way. And God is with us. The people to operate that facility we got for processing meat, I didn't know how I was going to get people to help me do that. I didn't have any help. I asked certain places for help. They didn't respond. Soon as they found out I got help, now they want to come help me. They don't want to come help me. They want to come defeat the effort that we're making now. I have a general assistant manager that I'm going to introduce to you today. Brother Lester Muhammad, that I knew when he was very young. Brother Lester Muhammad, could you stand and let the people see you? And he has worked for Jewel for many years. He's had his own delicatessen that he had for 3 years, two or 3 years or more, I don't know, I can't remember exactly, in Jersey, when he was living in Jersey. So he has experience, and he's a very intelligent, informed, educated person. And I thank Allah for his help. And we don't intend to fail, we intend to succeed. Failure ain't in our spirit, ain't in our blood. There's no failure in us. And Allah has blessed us with a brother, Yusuf, who slaughters lambs every week in large numbers, right in the city of Chicago. It blessed us with him as a brother and as a friend. We'd be buying lambs from him. I think we already bought some lambs from him. We'd be buying lambs from him. And there's Minimar, another big company that's really very popular in the Muslim community of America, Society of America, for his cold cuts, very excellent and beautiful quality products. So inshallah, we'll be buying from him and working with him. But also, we've gotten in touch with a big, big supplier of chickens. And they have accepted little us. And last word I heard from the big man was, Mr. Muhammad, we'll be getting back with you soon. That means the price is going to be the price is going to be competitive for us. We'll be able to compete with Muanang, Jewels. So whatever they sell in their products for, I mean, we'll be able to sell halal, the same price they sell in their non-halal. That's God. You think you can change that? I'm speaking to my adversaries. Do you think if Almighty God give you something, you think you can take it away from us? If Almighty God gave it to us? Impossible. Impossible. The only way it goes from us, we have to do something to lose it. Found an African-American farmer. Got some of the beautiful cows I ever seen. He raised some hogs too. But he's a Christian. That's his right to do that. I didn't see a hog among the cows. Not a single pig was among the cows. So if we support him, wouldn't that be building better relations with our African-American Christian brothers? See, we can't have everybody charting our future and planning strategy for us to go ahead. You got to have a leader. If you don't believe in him, then leave him. And if you got better, you're supposed to present that better person to your leader. You're not supposed to work behind the back of your leader. If you got better, you're supposed to bring that better person to your leader. That's the way the companions of our prophet was. Peace and blessing be upon the prophet, and God be pleased with his companion. If they found somebody that could help, that was outstanding, they presented that person to the prophet. You don't work behind the back of the leader. Oh, this should really be the leader. That's wrong. That's terrible. Okay. When you go into business, go into business for Allah's pleasure. Go into business to have business help your life be better and more impressive for Islam under God. That's the way you go in. And don't fear. Have the courage to compete with the biggest on this earth. Maybe you can't show yourself today, but work. That one day they'll see you in a position to compete with the biggest on this earth. And that's not the lifetime of one generation. That comes in the lifetime of many generations. So let us plan for our life down the road in the year 3000. Let us plan to be as big as any businessman on this earth. And I think we can do it maybe in just a couple of hundred years. We might have wealth as much as any rich man or group on this earth. Let's work for it. Work for it in the name of God to better our Muslim life and to finance our own Islamic needs. We can't have strong schools or don't have money. All right. And let us pray. Muslims, pray. Find time to pray. Take out time to pray. Clean yourself and pray. If you can't clean yourself, look how easy this religion is. You can find clean earth and rub your hands, dust it off, and wipe your face and pray. unless you've had intercourse or something, then you have to have a full bath, you know. This isn't religion, it's easy. When you're in your car, I'm giving you permission to do this. I don't care what people say. They talk about me. If I make no mistakes, they talk about me. If I do little something, they talk about me. So I don't care what they say. Tell me, ma'am, W.D. Muhammad said that when I want to pray, if it's not convenient for me to go and find water, he said to wipe my hand on a clean stone or clean brick or something, clean stone, wipe my hands and wipe my face and pray. See, ma'am, W.D. Muhammad said, I can be driving my car and do my prayer. Make my attention to the Kaaba and be driving your car. Do your prayer. That's what I do. I ain't telling you nothing that I ain't doing. That's what I do. All right. Allah be with you. I love you. Even you that are ignorantly working against me, I love you. But I'm cutting you off, buddy. Can't take your foot dragging and undermining what we are doing now. Can't take it. It's too serious to take that kind of treatment from you. So God be with you, and let us make dua. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين.
Be sure to join us next time for the National Public Broadcast of W.D. Muhammad, Muslim Society Leader. For more on the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, call 1-708-798-6750. All right, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For WDM Publications, call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.